morning and welcome to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. It's a Friday morning. Heading into the weekend, and the weekend looks pretty darn nice weather-wise. Actually, downright warm by Sunday, which is great for anyone with anything outdoor planned. I've talked to friends that are saying, you know, it's too early to prepare for winter. I refuse to put the outdoor furniture, for example, in the backyard away just yet. That said, I do know a number of people that will maybe make a trip to the cabin this weekend to close things up, and farmers certainly working to get harvest finished up in the field this weekend. I'm going to be popping back out to give my brother a hand here for the next few days. In fact, I took a couple of days off at the start of next week, and hopefully we can get the canola in the bin. Last night, I just want to give a quick mention to this before we go to open lines. Last night, our radio station, proud to host Uncover the Cure. This was held in Regina at the Wascana Golf and Country Club. So we do this event. This has been an annual event. John Gormley, the host of this for many years. Now I have the privilege of hosting this event, which raises money, raises awareness for prostate cancer, which is, this is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, the month of September. Hospitals of Regina Foundation involved in this. Dino Sophocleous, Lisa Green, and the whole crew were out. We had a packed house last night for this great event. We socialized, we talked a bit about, and we heard from Dr. Goyle, who does some work at the Prostate Assessment Center, which is located at the Pasqua Hospital in Regina, and we raised money, $52,000 in, what, 2.5 hours, I think we were there. So it's a great after-work kind of a networking event. We appreciate everyone who came out and everyone who gave generously. It was sponsors for the event, just listeners and people that wanted to come out and support the event. It was a great night. So we appreciate everyone involved. Thank you so much. And again, congrats to everyone who contributed out of their hard-earned pockets some money to go towards this very important cause of prostate cancer. $52,000 raised last night for the Hospitals of Regina Foundation. Okay. Open lines on a Friday. I tend to like to literally look back at the week and say, boy, we have talked about a ton of things this week. We talked about, of course, Jimmy Kimmel, one of the most recent discussions that we've had. We just had Premier Scott Moe on talking about canola tariffs, and already texts are pouring in, weighing in on that conversation. Should the province be doing more? I mean, I'm a person, and I've said this on the show a few times, I feel as though the province, our province, has taken the wheel on this to do what they can. Make the trip to China, advance meetings prior to the trip with the federal government. They took members of the federal government with them, then follow up with a meeting with the prime minister. The province is somewhat limited. This is a nation-to-nation exercise that has to happen. Ultimately, it's decision-making around removing those electric vehicle tariffs on Chinese vehicles, or despite those tariffs, being able to strike some sort of a deal, which, as you heard the premier say, there have been countries that have been able to strike a deal while keeping some sort of tariff on Chinese vehicles. So where do we get to on that? Do you want more from the province? Are you saying, look, this is the province that needs to continue to keep the gas pedal down on this? Or is it in the hands of the federal government? And is the end of the year soon enough? As farmers are literally warming up combines right now, ready to get into the field, canola into the hopper, into the bin, into the elevator, with those punishing tariffs impacting the bottom line, what farmers are getting, are you okay waiting till the end of the year if that's when the federal government is able to strike a deal and remove the tariffs? No different for peas, no different for pork, the ag industry tariffs in general. Is the end of the year a reasonable timeline, or are you someone saying, no, we need this off now? 1-877-332-8255. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Phone lines are open. I've got a number of texts that are coming in. Here's one saying, we, the province, need to sell our products to new customers. We are in a war with China. It's painful, but what needs to happen? Farmers will adjust. We don't want Chinese electric cars. We need to support what is ours and our allies' supply chains and businesses. Thanks for the text. Now, here's one from Doug in Arcola. I'm going to read this verbatim. This is the text Doug sent in. After listening to Scott Moe, he says, it sounds to me like he's wanting to become a future prime minister. Real people have real bills and real payments have to be executed on time. Waiting months while politicians discuss and talk is not acceptable, and an excuse not to meet financial obligations. He goes on to say that he stated on air, solutions in this tariff war are and can be solved in Ottawa because Ottawa is the problem. Trudeau created the problem. Scott Moe, Doug says from Arcola, Scott Moe is a liberal in SAS party clothing. I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I think clearly we've heard, whether it's Scott Moe or Danielle Smith, even recently Danielle Smith has come out saying, look, I just had a good meeting with the prime minister. We need to be patient. He gets it. We're working towards solutions. That's Danielle Smith, who I would suggest is probably one of the furthest right premiers in the province. So the fact that Danielle Smith and Scott Moe are in a relationship that seems to be a respectful, professional type of a relationship with Ottawa, yes, a Liberal government, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. As someone who is a proud Saskatchewanian, we need that. There's a degree of importance of the ability to get along and not always fight, because you fight, you end up in court. And we, trust me, have we not been down this road with carbon taxes and a whole bunch of things? Now, you heard the premier say this morning, I asked the question, a lot of speculation off the start that we were hearing good things from Ottawa, but let's see if words turn into action. I asked the premier this morning, has the rubber hit the road? He said it's starting to. So not all the way there yet, but it's starting to, and then talked about some of the projects that that are underway or he would like to see underway. So you want to weigh in on this conversation? Do the canola tariffs need to come off immediately? Are you one of the people? And there were almost half of Canadians. Sorry, let me find the article. It's actually more than half of Canadians are in favor of cutting the EV tariffs for agriculture relief. Angus Reid just did this. 50% of Canadians. That's impressive to me. I mean, it's no surprise that Saskatchewan's number was the highest. I think we were at 64% or something like that. Saskatchewan had obviously a large number of people that supported the removal of the tariffs on Chinese vehicles with an attempt to try and remove the ag tariffs that they'd thrown on us. Are you one of those people? Is that where we need to go? And is the end of the year soon enough for that to happen? 1-877-332-8255. Lots of texts coming in, lots of calls coming in, and I would love to hear from you. What is what are you thinking on this issue? What needs to happen? So many other things bubbling around there. I mean, the Jimmy Kimmel thing, too, continues to be a big story. I'm going to dive into that in a second, but the calls are starting to come in, and I want to jump onto the phone line right now and grab this call. It's Chris calling from Calgary. Your thoughts this morning on open phones? Hi. Go ahead.
I can understand why the U.S. is nervous about our border security, because for far too long, Canada has let in a lot of people that we don't know who they are, and let alone we have a bunch of people that shouldn't be in this country, and we don't know how to find them and get them out.
So we've done a bad job, and we've given the reason for the U.S. to be nervous, is your point?
Yep.
Well, I can tell you, thanks for the call. You know, I can tell you that this was an issue. I don't know if you caught this, but this was an issue yesterday in conversations that happened with let me grab my paper here. The FBI director, so Kash Patel, was being questioned yesterday. He was actually at a U.S. House oversight hearing and was responding to a question from a congressperson who was essentially saying, where are we at with the border? Is it getting better? And they were talking specifically, not in this case about drugs, but terrorism is essentially where they were going. It was a very interesting exchange, and this is how it played out.
We've also been talking some today about the issues that occurred at the border during the Biden administration. You might not agree with your predecessor on everything, but you probably would agree with some of the statements he made in testimony before this and other committees, raising alarms about the risk of terrorism from illegal border crossings. Since becoming director, have you gotten some insight into how well calibrated those warnings were, and what is the status of that risk now?
Since becoming director, there's been a sharp decrease of border crossings for known or suspected terrorists from the southern border. But unfortunately, there has been a sharp increase of known or suspected terrorists entering through our northern border. And so what I'm trying to do is work with our northern border states and our interagency to tackle that problem. But it is an absolutely massive border that can't physically be sealed. So we're going to have to get creative and put more resources into that.
You know, there's a couple of interesting things from that. FBI Director Kash Patel basically saying he's got to work with the northern states to secure this. So it was nice not to hear direct blame to Canada, but it doesn't take off the fact that we are talking about the Canadian-U.S. border. And clearly, there's a feeling that illegal immigration, which includes terrorists crossing the border, and we know this has been a problem for a while, so it's not news to us. That exchange, though, between him and the congressman that was there, much better than the one the other day. Did you hear the exchange between Democrat Congressperson, Senator, I believe, Cory Booker, who is from New Jersey, and FBI Director Kash Patel? Give this a listen.
I don't think you're fit to end the Bureau, but here's the thing, Mr. Patel. I think you're not going to be around long. I think this might be your last oversight hearing. Because as much as you supplicate yourself to the will of Donald Trump and not the Constitution of the United States of America, Donald Trump has shown us in his first term and in this term, he is not loyal to people like you. He will cut you loose. This may be the last time I have a hearing with you because I don't think you're long for your job. But I'm going to tell you this. I pray for you. I pray for you that you can step up and defend your oath, defend the Constitution, and do a much better job of defending this country. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do you want to say anything?
Yes, sir. That rant of false information does not bring this country together. If you want to work on bringing this country, it's my time, not yours.
My God.
If you want to talk about
dividing this country,
it is my time.
I follow you on your social media posts that
it
tear this country apart.
To address your falsehoods.
Oh, you can try all you want
in this country
to not take responsibility for what you have said. Sir, you're making a mockery of this committee. Sir, you don't tell me my time is over. The people of New Jersey tell me what my time is. You can't lecture me.
You can tell me my time's over.
You may be the charge of the FBI, but I am not afraid of you.
Mr. Chairman.
Not afraid of you.
Bike racks after school. That's where that conversation is going to get settled. Democrat Cory Booker and FBI Director Kash Patel. That happened this week as well. Okay, let's take a break. Phone lines, text lines are open for you for the next hour, right up until 10 o'clock. 1-877-332-8255. You want to talk tariffs? You want to talk Jimmy Kimmel? You want to talk tailgating? I'd love to talk tailgating. Phone lines are open for you. Here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Didn't realize that I was waiting.
Well, I read someplace that the networks were 97% against me, and then 97% against. They give me only bad publicity or press. I would think maybe their license should be taken away. 97% of the stories are most of it, and yet I win easily the election.
That was Donald Trump last night. Air Force One, he's on his way home on the plane from the UK. Of course, his official state visit over there. And really, it's the fallout of the decision that the network has made with regard to Jimmy Kimmel. ABC essentially deciding to preempt his show indefinitely, We talked a bit about that. Just a reminder, this is essentially the catalyst for the decision.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
So it was that comment that, again, triggered a bit of a chain reaction here. And it's a bit of a bouncing ball that you need to follow. So it wasn't a direct federal government orders ABC to take it off. What I mean, it really is about money because it was Nexstar. We talked about this yesterday, which has a number of ABC affiliates. Nexstar is in the process of trying to acquire their big competitor. In order for that merger to happen, they need to get approval from the FCC, which is the organization that essentially controls, regulates public airwaves and broadcasting and things like this merger. Knowing that the head of the FCC, their chair, Brendan Carr, made comments about Kimmel, those stations, again, focused on getting approval for the merger, made the decision to pull Kimmel. Then ABC, the parent company, followed suit. So, many people pointing out that this actually has more to do with the business end of the broadcasting business than anything else. But, I mean, you can't ignore, everyone is talking about this. Last night I mentioned I was at this Uncover the Cure event. Everybody was talking about this. And Donald Trump was asked about it on that plane ride home on Air Force One.
That's something that should be talked about for licensing, too. When you have a network and you have evening shows and all they do is hit Trump, that's all they do. If you go back and take a look, all they do is hit Trump. They're licensed. They're not allowed to do that. They're an arm of the Democrat Party.
They're licensed. They're not allowed to do that. Well, of course, this was fodder for the late night shows last night. Jimmy Fallon talking about the Jimmy Kimmel announcement.
This morning, I woke up to 100 text messages from my dad saying, I'm sorry they canceled your show. I go, that's not me. That's Jimmy Kimmel.
1-877-332-8255. The lines are open for you. Is this an attack at free speech? Is this long overdue? Is this state-controlled media? A lot of people on the text line already saying they hated Jimmy Kimmel to begin with, and he had bad ratings. His ratings, actually, we pulled this, Frank pulled this out the other day. He was second in the late night slot in terms of viewers, 1.2 million viewers. What do you think? 1-877-332-8255. Open lines continues. We'll be back momentarily here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
The point is that Kimmel's comments went way too far for some television executives. Not for me, not for you, but for them. And they turned up the heat on Kimmel, the host, to calm down the rhetoric.
It's very true. It's really more about the television executives and their tolerance for something that could jeopardize the ability for them to make more money. They're trying to make this merger happen in the States, and as a result, that's why they made this movement. A lot of people weighing in on it. I said this yesterday, I'm going to repeat it again today. I don't think he should have been yanked off the air for what he said. I've heard worse said. That said, I can't tell you the last time I watched Jimmy Kimmel or late night TV for that matter. I don't know. I just have really kind of lost interest. I used to watch it. I loved David Letterman, loved watching Letterman. And I actually did note last night that David Letterman, one of many people weighing in on this.
We all see where this is going, correct? It's managed media, and it's no good. It's silly. It's ridiculous. And you can't go around firing somebody because you're fearful or trying to suck up to an authoritarian criminal administration in the Oval Office. That's just not how this works.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I love Johnny Carson growing up. I loved Letterman. I used to watch Leno a little bit, but it just has dwindled off to the point that it feels weak to me. late night TV. Now, I saw a text here, someone saying you should listen to or watch, is it Gutfeld? I know that is on Fox. I have not seen that show, but there's a number of people that are saying he's the king of late night comedy because he's actually funny. This text actually about Gutfeld coming in from Foam Lake, Saskatchewan. Not far from Foam Lake, Saskatchewan is Melville, Saskatchewan, and that's where I find Garnet today. Garnet, thanks for calling in. Your thoughts on this whole talk about Jimmy Kimmel?
I've listened to Kimmel's comments several times. I don't understand why that's so offensive. He didn't say that the Republicans did that the shooter was a Republican. He said that they could be a Republican or a Democrat.
It sounded to me like he was insinuating that it was a Republican, and the point he tried to make is that the MAGA movement is trying hard to say that it's not. Clearly, what we've learned about the shooter is he was not part of the MAGA movement. That's pretty clear.
Right.
Yeah. So, but you don't think he should have been pulled for those comments, is your point?
Oh, absolutely not. If you want to pull somebody, pull Trump.
Well, that is only going to happen at an election, and we know he won't be getting reelected unless the rules change for some reason going forward. 1-877-332-8255. A number of people saying things like, whether you liked him or not, Jimmy Kimmel was just stating facts. Just because you don't like the narrative doesn't mean you should ban it. Unless you own the company and it jeopardizes more money that you want to make, and then you do. Other people here are weighing in on, we got a variety of topics going on here. Here's one from Ross in Viscount saying, watching the Liberals' outrage at Jimmy Kimmel's firing over free speech is ironic, considering what's happening in Canada, but more importantly, they're outraged about Kimmel's firing rather than Kirk's murder. Ross also weighing into the other conversation we're having. So I'm going to say Doug and Arcola, who is a regular listener and contributor to this show, texts in regularly. Doug, you have sparked a conversation because Doug essentially said he doesn't love the approach that Scott Moe is taking. He feels that he's too conciliatory with Ottawa. He would like to see more fight. And he essentially made reference to Scott Moe being a liberal in disguise. Well, the supporters are coming out of the woodwork. Ross says a liberal in conservative clothing is Doug Ford, certainly not Scott Moe. Scott Moe is trying to help the ag industry get tariffs off canola. Ford wants to keep the tariffs on Chinese EVs. So Ross, not going there. There was a real funny one from Dylan I wanted to read. So, you know, our friend Dylan, who likes to contribute to this show regularly. Here. He calls himself Radicalized Dylan from Saskatoon. He says, LMAO, Mo is a liberal. That makes me a diehard Trump supporter. It speaks to the nature of politics. The fact that being cordial to the people on the other side of the aisle means that you must be a traitor, when really that's the way politics is supposed to be, says Dylan. 1-877-332-8255. For the people that think, there's a number of people that say, whether it's Premier Scott Moe or Danielle Smith, the Premier of Alberta, aligning themselves with one another because they both have Prime Minister in mind, I don't agree. I don't speak for either of them, but that's not what this is about. I believe both of those premiers truly have the best interests of their province in mind. You may disagree with the way they go about, but I mean, both of them, I think that's why politicians get into politics. They all have the best interest of their province, their country in mind. They might differ in how they want to achieve their goals, but to me, Scott Moe, Daniel Smith are trying to protect their provinces in what is, in some cases, a fight with the country. In other cases, we need to band together as a country to try and deal with some of these outside pressures that are coming in. So it's interesting to see these texts floating in on the text line with the opinions about those types of things. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go back to the phone lines. I got a couple more calls coming in. I'm going to go to Glenn first in Saskatoon. Happy Friday, Glenn. Thanks for calling in. Your thoughts on the Kimmel-Trump situation.
Sort of what you said there, 1.2 million viewers. It's a dying industry, that part of it. And it's just a way for them to look good at maybe just letting that part of things go, right?
Mm.
Because you're, like I said, 1.2 million viewers, that's all he has. It seems like hardly nothing in a market like that. And nobody I know watches that stuff anymore. You know, people are online and stuff like that. So it seems to be a dying, I'm not sure, industry or whatever.
I think you're onto something there, Glenn. I think late night TV is obviously pulling in different numbers than it used to. When I look at this, I mentioned Frank, who always helps me here with the quick show prep. He pulled late night ratings. Someone mentioned Fox News Gutfeld. Have you seen this? I have not seen it, but I'm now seeing enough people weighing in on it that makes me want to watch it. So it's in the 10 o'clock slot. They actually have almost 3.3 million viewers. So when you consider comparing that to the 1.2 that Jimmy Kimmel had, obviously that's well under half the same. I haven't watched Gutfeld. I'm a guy that likes Jon Stewart. I don't watch him, but I do find he's, number one, he's very smart. Whether you agree with his political alignment or not, it's less about that and more about the satire that he brings. And a special appearance, normally he's only on Mondays, but a special appearance by Jon Stewart last night, and he was in fine form.
Visit to England couldn't have gone better for our president. Finally, a country affording our great leader the respect and deference that any sun god would command. There's something called a talent-o-meter. It's a completely scientific instrument that is kept on the president's desk. And it tells the president when a performer's TQ, talent quotient, measured mostly by niceness to the president, goes below a certain level, at which point the FCC must be notified to threaten the acquisition prospects for billion-dollar mergers of network affiliates. These affiliates are then asked to give ultimatums to the even larger megacorporation that controls the flow of state-approved content, or the FCC can just choose to threaten those licenses directly. It's basic science.
So that was Jon Stewart last night. This is, if nothing else, it's giving the remaining late night talk shows some content. 1-877-332-8255. We haven't been to Buffalo Pound Lake in a while. It's time we paid a visit. Terry is on the line. Terry, how are you today?
Hey, Evan. Good.
Good, 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 good. Great to have you here. Let's talk Jimmy Kimmel. Your thoughts?
Well, it's basically like I'm about as far right as you can get, but I'm really disagreeing with all the stuff that Trump's pulling. Like, to me, this is getting dangerously close to being on the same wave as China and, you know, state-controlled media and controlling the message.
Yeah.
You know? And you had said earlier the only way out to get rid of Trump is an election. Isn't he pushing to be vice president next election and then have the president step down? Seems to me I heard him say that.
It's interesting, Terry, that you bring that up. I just talked to someone last night at this event I was at about that exact same thing. I mean, they're already planting seeds as to, you know, how does Donald Trump extend his presidency? That's a whole other story. But it's interesting, Terry. Thanks for being willing to say the words you just did, because as Terry just said, he himself would identify himself as far right as you can go, but doesn't agree with what's going on in this situation with the Jimmy Kimmel removal and everything else with regard to licensing of TV stations, late night comedy. It's a swirling mess. That's for sure. Lots of great texts coming in on the line on this as well. I'm going to take one more call. I know we are probably up against a break here, but I want to take this call from James in Saskatoon. We've been chatting about Scott Moe, who is, of course, a guest on the program first thing this morning. James, you think Premier Moe is leading us in the right direction on the whole canola and ag industry issues?
Absolutely. you know, I'm actually incredibly impressed with the direction and the leadership that we've been seeing with Scott. You know, I was always very hopeful when we saw the election victory and his speech afterwards, and it had a lot of reflective qualities. And in that, I thought, my God, the man is now seized with really trying to be a premier that he wants to be. And so all of a sudden we move forward and we have this canola issue that, you know, nobody really wanted. But I have to give Scott Moe all of the credit in the world for stepping up and taking the bull by the horns, you know, literally here, and trying to bring forward some kind of dialogue. I think the fact that we're working with Ottawa in a manner that is necessary. You know, I know the Pierre Colt Club always thinks the government of Canada has to be your mortal enemy. It doesn't. The reality is that the people of Saskatchewan need all levels of government to work together. And that's what I think we're finally getting with our premier, and good on him. And I just wanted to step up and say that.
Yeah, I appreciate you weighing in on the chat today, James. Let's take a break, and then we will come back and finish up our open lines. But just because we finish open lines, don't forget at 10 o'clock we transition into Bugs and Hugs. So really, phone and text lines are not closing down. We've got lots of great conversation. It's a Friday, and I love to hear your thoughts on a Friday here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Jimmy Kimmel was fired because he had bad ratings more than anything else. Jimmy Kimmel is not a talented person. They should have fired him a long time ago. So, you know, you can call that free speech or not.
Wait, this is turning into a bit of a battle about basically who's funny at night. The text line is quite interesting to me, the number of people weighing in about who they like. I'm going to have to watch this Gutfeld. I've heard about the show. I've never watched it. It's on Fox, but there's a lot of people weighing in. So many people saying things like this text here from Dale in Regina saying, late night talk shows with Colbert, Kimmel, Fallon, Seth Meyers, they're great if you don't like Trump. You watch them because they focus on Trump's gaffes, his missteps, his stupid comments. So if you don't like Trump, obviously those are the shows that you're going to like to watch. Darren in Moose Jaw said, I remember when late night hosts were equal opportunity roasters of politicians. People are just getting tired now of their obvious biases. Someone else pointing out, Steve here from Lee Ross, saying Gutfeld was funny when the left ruled the country. I can only imagine what that would have been like. But now, Steve says, it's unwatchable because it's just continuing support of Donald Trump. So lots of people weighing in on that. Thanks for the conversation on that. You know what we haven't heard yet about is tailgating. Maybe during Bugs and Hugs. I am pumped. I feel like I'm the most pumped up person about this possibility of tailgating at Rider games, but we'll get into that with Bugs and Hugs. I want to go back to the phone line. I'm going to go to Matthew now in Swift Current. Happy Friday, Matthew. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, thanks, Evan. I just a general statement. I feel like there's so much division in the world that it's tough to find that common ground, and my thoughts are like, so I'm pro oil, pro coal, but it doesn't mean I'm anti-environment. I want both. I'm pro Palestine, but I'm not an anti-Semite. I just would wish or hope that there is some common ground that we can all meet somewhere, and maybe I want to, you know, have my cake and eat it too. I don't know, but that's just what's coming to my mind right
You know what, Matthew? I just want to jump in for a second because I love that you said those things. You know what? In today's world, it's a brave person that can say those things. The fact that you said, I feel like I am like you. I support oil and gas. I support the decision to use our coal resources, but I also care about our planet. And I think you can do both. And I think you brought up a great point, Matthew. Thanks for calling in today.
Thanks, Evan. Have a great day.
Great to have you here. Okay, we are heading into Bugs and Hugs. So the topics we've been talking about can still form a bug or a hug for you. But I know there's lots of others out there as well. 1-877-332-8255. It's a busy Friday. Lots of people calling in. I love that. The text lines are busy. Bugs and Hugs is next here on 980 CJME, 650 CKOM.